Good evening, everybody, and welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Escudero, and you're listening to the Easy Beats podcast on the Anchor app. I'm just going to be talking about the week in review, some of the major events that took place over the course of this week. I'm going to start off with July 4th. I know we're skipping a lot of days, but hey, we can do that here. July 4th, happy late 4th of July to all of you. Hopefully you had a safe and sober 4th of July. I know I did. Well, kind of. But anyways, a lot of fireworks popping in the air in Fontana. It was like a war zone. So many illegal fireworks being shot up in the air like freaking bombs. It was fucking crazy loud. Hopefully nobody took their hand off, you know. Hopefully nothing exploded there. And that wouldn't be very nice. That wouldn't be very nice news to hear at all, actually. You know, the next day. 35-year-old Carlos Ramon Sanchez had a firework explode in his hand, and his hand is bleeding like shit. Some of his fingers are missing. Now, that definitely wouldn't be a good headline to hear after 4th of July. But a lot of beer drinking, a lot of partying going on, fireworks in the sky, a lot of eating, all that good shit. Celebrating America. But the bigger news on July 4th, obviously the earthquake near Ridgecrest, California. I mean, that was pretty huge, a 6.4. And we felt that out here in Fontana. So the thing with that being that the city that had happened in the epicenter was a little over 2 hours out. And the fact that we still felt that in Fontana, felt the shaking, especially in the house, I felt the shaking of the glass. Cabinets, the chandelier was moving back and forth, a lot of that. Just shows how powerful it was, being that far away, obviously closer there. Footage of the roads cracking in half, stores with the things falling off the shelves, power going out over there. Definitely some damage done to some homes there. And I was even seeing on the news, a lady's house in a trailer park was flipped on its side. And they had to help, you know, get their neighbors out because their houses was pretty much sideways. And it was just crazy seeing that footage there. But that wasn't even the last of it. Back-to-back days of big earthquakes. 7.1 hit yesterday around the same area as the day before. Talk about getting fucked twice. I mean, by Mother Nature, that was some shit. 7.1, and we felt that here. That felt longer to me, being out here in California. I was about to get under the table when that happened, and it was just crazy. But just the magnitude of everything, being able to feel it from San Diego, just insane to see how powerful that was. And thankfully not on the San Andreas fault line, not on a fault line. Obviously, prayers go out to the families there, but if that had been on a bigger fault line, we would all be fucked right now. And we were all waiting for that third earthquake, that big one, that was seemingly unavoidable. It is unavoidable, but it was seemingly like it was going to happen the very next day. It was kind of like we were expecting the big one now. And so the joke was just move to Atlanta. I mean, just for the fuck of it, just move to Atlanta and, you know, go chill out there. And that's just in that area. But in all seriousness, we thought that a bigger one was going to come. We still do believe that the big one is inevitable at this point. Definitely a scary sighting. There's no other way to put it. You know, had that been here, bigger damage definitely to occur in your schools, in your facilities of work, families would be affected, all that bad stuff. So thankfully did not come the way, but this should serve as a reminder to all of us to become more prepared for this type of stuff and to better change our attitudes. The climate change guys are going to be out here on this one like, oh, you know, don't piss off Mother Nature. But that is right. I mean, some of that stuff does have to do with us. Of course, and just to be careful, be ready for the earthquake, the big one. It's gonna come. Yeah, it's gonna come. Hopefully not too soon, but you never know. Now we're going to get into sports real quick, starting off with the NBA. Obviously, big news just a few hours ago. Kawhi Leonard signing with the Clippers to a four-year, $141 million deal right after they decided to trade for Paul George. They trade Jagornius St. Arnold or some fucker like that, whatever his name is, Danilo Gallinari. And 5 first-round draft picks for Paul George, which allowed Kawhi to make his decision to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to go to the Clippers instead of Los Angeles. So they're going to be a really good team as well. But Los Angeles also getting some free agents after they got hosed by the Kawhi deal not going through for them. They're able to maintain Contavious Caldwell-Pope, JaVale McGee, and Rajon Rondo to 2-year deals, while signing on to Marcus Cousins, signing on Danny Green, as he did not agree to go to the Clippers with Kawhi. He just kind of assumed that he was going to go to Lakers and say, oh, I'll meet you there, buddy. Then the next thing you know, hey, where you at? Oh, I'm over here. Oh, okay. That type of stuff. But anyway, signing Quinn Cook as well, a good shooter from the Golden State Warriors. Adding some depth to the roster, as well as Jared Dudley, Troy Daniels, such of that nature. The Lakers are going to have a really stacked roster, a really deep team to advance far in the playoffs, assuming everybody stays healthy. But is this a finals team? You'd have to see. I mean, the balance of the league definitely is in favor of no one at this moment. And you thought I was going to say somebody, but no, you fuck you, you're wrong. Nobody has an outright advantage. And that's a good thing, in my opinion, because when you look at the NBA, you look at, you know, the talent disparity. You look at how it's distributed among the teams. And honestly, when the Warriors were in power, you can just see only really 2 or 3 teams would contend. And you already knew who those teams were going to be. You know, Golden State, you know, Houston. They had Cleveland when they had LeBron. And then after that, you know, you had, you know, Boston and the Sixers out in the East. You pretty much knew who was going to go to the finals every year, and I was like, I'm not gonna watch it, especially with LeBron not being in the playoffs. You know, the ratings went down there, but now instead of the big three, there's a lot of duos. We talked about Kyrie and KD with the Nets, obviously LeBron and AD with the Lakers, Kawhi, PG with the Clippers. I mean, you have Middleton and Antetokounmpo, if you want to call that a duo, in Milwaukee. Toronto's still a good team. Warriors still a good team, a good nucleus in Klay Thompson to Steph Curry, along with D'Angelo Russell. We'll see what happens with that situation. But the balance is pretty much spread out to where we can logistically say that we can actually say that 8 teams or more can contend for a spot in the finals. Each conference, and a few teams in each conference, that can definitely contend for a title. And that's what's going to make the league watchable, because none of these teams will be overpowered. The talent will be there for each team, and you will not know what's coming. As a fan, that sort of parity is what the league has been lacking for the last few years now. And so either way, the deal bodes well for both LA teams. They will be the top 2 teams in the West, you know, with the Warriors being hurt and all that. But we can't sleep on teams like Denver that will gain a year of experience, a team that was number 2 last year. Utah, obviously going to be a very good team. And OKC, well, they're probably going to trade Russ and rebuild. We'll be waiting to see what that does for the league, and we'll be waiting to see where that will take us in terms of what we think about these teams. Also in tennis, we have female 15-year-old phenom, Coco Gauff. And obviously we know that she beat Venus Williams. She beat Venus Williams in the first round of Wimbledon for the women. And now she's advanced to the round of 16 play. A U.S. chick at 15 years old. God, what the fuck was I doing at 15? I'll tell you what I was probably doing. Probably jacking off to one of my teachers in high school. Doing something, thinking about women. When I couldn't get them. No, realistically. God, not a lot of us were doing much at 15, but she's out here winning prize money, beating some of the best female talents there are in the game. And regardless of whether you think that's, you know, equivalent to women, to a men's sport or not, a 15-year-old beating professionals, you know, twice or three times her age, I mean, that's really incredible. You gotta shout out to her. Hopefully she does well in the women's tournament. Speaking of tournaments, the men's and the women's tournament, the World Cup for the women and the Gold Cup for the men, the USA soccer team is going to be in the finals. Tomorrow morning, we're having the US versus Netherlands in the Women's World Cup. They're going to try to go back-to-back and see if they can capitalize on their top performances. Also, see if their political activism will be enhanced because of that result. We'll get into that a little bit. And then also with the U.S. men, a classic rivalry versus Mexico, the team south of the border. We're going to be seeing that one live at 6 o'clock in Soldier Field, hoping that both the U.S. teams win on Sunday. Now for the women, there's been a lot of talk about the gender inequality, the pay gap between the teams and their male counterparts, especially Megan Rapinoe. She's been very vocal to Trump about that and the inequalities there, or quote-unquote, we'll say. But I think definitely a win will make that statement a lot louder than a loss, because a loss, I think, would definitely hurt their legitimacy for the complaint there. They do get a lot of advertisements. They get a lot of endorsements, obviously, from Hulu. As well as, you know, what they get paid on the club level for the national level. There are talks about prize money going up for the women at the next World Cup 2023. Now, because there'll be more teams in that World Cup. There'll be 32 teams, so they'll be equal to the men for now until the men go to 48. And for me, I think that adding more teams dilutes the competition because, yes, it is the World Cup, but at the end of the day, we're seeing the best teams in the world. We're not going to be lining up for a group stage match of Tahiti versus, you know, Jamaica or something in the World Cup. Nobody wants to see that shit. To be quite honest with you, it's very top-heavy with the national teams, especially women, because, you know, if the USA women's team, if they split up to an A and a B team, the B team would still beat 90% of the world's women's teams because they're simply not as developed. You know, the women's game is more developed. They're more skilled here because of the ASO soccer leagues and because of a lot of attention to detail in the women's game. Also in Europe as well, they get that exposure. And that bodes well for them, not so much for the men, as a lot of the other countries do play it. And for the men, it's like the fourth or fifth best sport here in the U.S. Though we are a big country, you know, we like that national team support. They support the Mexico team more than the U.S. team. And that's, I mean, that could be for political reasons. Of course, even more so, but that is just the world we live in today. And so for the women, it's win or bust. For them, every year they feel that, you know, the message that they're trying to spread, the impact that they will have, will be determined by whether they win or lose in the tournament. And that's kind of true in a way. But even so, how big will their impact be? You know, regardless of how they do, how big of a voice, how big of a statement can they make with a win or a loss? Definitely two different sides of the coin there. I mean, just a lot of stuff to get into there, to unpack, but those teams will be going at it. Or the Netherlands isn't an easy team to beat. They're going to be playing in their first World Cup. They're going to be hungry for the U.S. title. The U.S. trying to go back-to-back the first time in their country's history and get their fourth World Cup title. And we'll be free to be. I'll have a post on the board, on the Instagram board, my discussion. I'll have the question: how would women's performance impact them and their message with a win or a loss. I'll be posting that later on tonight or tomorrow, and you'll be able to see that on my Instagram, Antoine_the_champ, and you'll be able to vote on Instagram and discuss with me if you'd like on these topics. Oh, and also for the men's game, Max Muncy replacing Anthony Rendon for the All-Star game of the MLB on July 9th, Fox ESPN on your local time. And the Dodgers this year, I'll be honest here, I'm another biased Dodger fan. Of course, there's a lot of haters out there, but to y'all, I say fuck y'all. And they're starting off very good this year. You know, they're really kicking it in a full gear. The third year, it's nuts to me how they can sustain this talent, sustain this dominance over the West, and sustain National League supremacy. Now, going into 2017, that was a magical year. That was a year where we were saying, you know what? The Dodgers are getting there. They just can't quite crack the code to get into the World Series. They go about signing on Yu Darvish at the trade deadline instead of Verlander. A lot of pieces were involved there. And obviously, we know the Astros got Verlander. We know what happened in the World Series. So the excitement level there, the excitement level this year feels the same. Last year, we skipped last year because we know what happened last year. Made the World Series, but got demolished to the Boston Red Sox. They exposed our bullpen for what it is, complete trash. And that's something we tried to address this offseason in Joe Kelly. And that's so far, well, it's not turning out great. We're having to rely on offensive heroism from Cody Bellinger, the likes of Kike and those guys there. They're playing phenomenal ball at the moment. And that's not going to work in the playoffs, not against good pitchers, not against elite pitchers, especially if it's a close game. The bullpen needs to step up for that team if they want to win a World Series. But just the feeling in the air, the uncertainty in the beginning of the year because, oh, we don't know how they're going to do. They lost two back-to-back World Series. How are they going to come back the third year? They still have the talent. They still have the farm system. You know, they just need the bullpen. And they're working in stride. Best team in the league. 60 wins on the season. And it's just, it's insane what they're doing. Also, some good teams. The Twins out in Minnesota in the AL are very surprising, beating the Cleveland Indians. The thought is they would trade Kubler. The Dodgers would go after him. But he wound up going to the Cubs. And so, that is something that they did not do. Pull the trigger when it mattered. But the Dodgers still very much playing well, and they're in command of the division and the number one seed in the MLB. But the third year, it's just crazy because no team has gone 3 years in a row and lost 3 years in a row. So it definitely, it is a scary thing to think about. If the Dodgers do make it back, how will they do the third time around? They have the experience. They have the wear and tear on them. These guys know what it's about. I think definitely with the way they're playing now, they can sustain that. They will get into the World Series again. It's a matter of who they will face and how the bullpen will hang up, how Kershaw will do, how the younger pitchers, Buehler, Urias, may begin an opportunity there. Ryu, is his health going to be there? I mean, a lot of question marks. You know, at that stage, obviously still need to get to the World Series, but at that stage, definitely be tough. And I know a lot of you guys are Dodger fans, looking forward to that. See the end of the season. You're going to be catching me. I'll be at the game on the 19th, July 19th versus the Miami Marlins. Catch me out there. You'll be able to see me in right field. I'll be outside taking the shuttle to the game. Disregard that. That just kind of cut off. I'm just going to be finishing off on the note. I'm going to be posting that as well, a question on my story tomorrow. Will the Dodgers win the World Series this year? You guys will be able to vote on that on my story as well. Instagram, Antoine the Champ. And feel free to follow and give that a vote. And also, if you want to discuss it, we'll give you the link to discuss, or you can message me on my personal account. And so with that being said, I'm going to sign off on the podcast. You'll be able to listen to the podcast, as always, on Anchor app. I'll be posting to SoundCloud very soon as well, along with Spotify in the future. Feel free to request to be on the show by messaging me personally or at my email. I will leave that on my Instagram description if you would like to get in touch with me there to set up an interview or just to be on the show just to talk on the show, give some opinions, just talk about what's going on, and I'll be happy to let you on and go from there. With that being said, thank you for listening to the podcast. Have a good night, everybody.